The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, and paths that they have not known I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things but does not observe them. His ears are open but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know. nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Some people thrive in being in the spotlight. When the pressure's on, they perform at their best. Michael Jordan, who won 6 NBA titles with the Chicago Bulls, was that type of player. You wanted the ball in Michael's hands when the game was on the line. However, many other people go through life with a very humble demeanor, not wanting the spotlight at all. They're content living out the vocations which God has given them and thrilled to serve their neighbor in whatever the circumstance. The spotlight shines on many people in today's gospel lesson from John chapter 9. Ultimately, though, the spotlight shines on Jesus, which is our theme this morning. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the spotlight shines on the man born blind, which is our first point. The text says, As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind?" Well, Jesus goes on to answer that question, that it was neither he nor his parents who had sinned. Jesus says, "But it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, applied the clay to his eyes, and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." And so he went away and washed and came back seeing. The man is immediately thrust into the spotlight as Jesus heals him and enables him to see for the first time in his life. The text continues. The neighbors, therefore, and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." Therefore, they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." The Pharisees are now brought into the scenario. They question the man as to what has happened. And now the spotlight is firmly upon the man who had been healed by Jesus. And that man says of Jesus, "He is a prophet." And that spotlight slowly begins to turn from the man healed to Jesus. The Pharisees make the claim that since Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, which was prohibited, that he was not from God. But there's another, even greater miracle than eyesight that takes place here. The blind man who can now see is brought to faith in Jesus. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "And who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The spotlight shines on Jesus. But that spotlight also, unfortunately, shines on us. And it doesn't always reveal the things we would like it to. The fact that we were all born spiritually blind, as John wrote in the first chapter of his gospel, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." We cannot know the light of God apart from Christ Jesus. By nature, we are spiritually blind, dead, and enemies of God. We are born without a true knowledge of God. And hence, because of that, so often we stumble around in life. And our sins can so easily trip us up. And because of our old sinful nature, we want the spotlight shining on us, upon the I and the me. And like the Pharisees, we sometimes can turn that spotlight on Jesus to examine him. How arrogant can we be? For it is our sinfulness which continues to cloud and dim the light of Christ. Recent surveys have shown that many times there is no difference in the way Christians live their lives than the unbelieving world around them. In turning the spotlight on Jesus, we begin to examine him on our own terms. And sometimes we examine the life of Jesus and we only see him as some sort of moral example to be followed. We look at the words of Jesus and only listen to the words that support our opinions or our positions. We become very subjective in our thinking and the application of God's word to our lives. When we put the spotlight on Jesus, we in essence are telling him that we would rather stand in our own light than to be enlightened by him and his holy word. The spotlight shines on Jesus, finally revealing the light we need to see. As the spotlight truly shines on Jesus, it shows him nailed to a cross at a place called Calvary, in our place and in the place of all sinners. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And then in Hebrews it says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. We look at the cross of Jesus, and Jesus hangs there, bleeding, suffering, and dying for us and for all people and for all sins. But we go to a tomb on Easter morning, and it is empty. Sin, death, and the power of the devil have been conquered. In Christ Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven, and we live in the sure and certain promise of eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus shines in the light of his resurrection. Jesus passed through the darkness of death to bring us life and light in his resurrection. In our baptism, Jesus shined upon us and brought us into his death and resurrection. The Bible says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And Jesus says in our text, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And in his first epistle, John wrote, and this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. His light shines in the world through those who confess him as Savior, and hence are part of the Holy Christian Church. Jesus is still shining in the world, and as the spotlight shines on Jesus, may this congregation continue to make him known as the light of the world who casts out the darkness of death. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.